NC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. And Specs, how about them savings from Specs, proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. We bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Howdy, sir.
Howdy back to
you. Did you watch the Chicago fight?
No, I did not.
What
did you,
the
did
heck,
you not
Mick?
Send him a link? Like you got
to
send.
I was supposed to.
All right, I'll text you. It'll be.
I got things going on here.
Yeah. Fair.
You can't go.
I got
Google
bags
stuff.
Getting packed to go back to Dallas. I got bags getting packed go to Phoenix. I got bags for today. There's a lot going on here.
Then you have to ride your bicycle back, right?
Well, yeah, right. I'll be like those guys from Argentina that took 3 months to ride their bike here for the World Cup.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Is tomorrow your last day in Oxnard then on the way out to the preseason?
Yes, we leave here early afternoon and head to Phoenix. So this is the last full day.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. From the time you got here to right now, how much better do you think the Cowboys have gotten? Because that's the entire point of training camp, is tighten things up, see what you've got. Do you feel like you've seen a discernible difference over this period of time?
I think the difference that was most discernible was their ability to play defense, or seemingly ability to play defense. I know, you know, the scrimmages are not supposed to be tackle football, although it turned into that somewhat. And then the preseason game is the youngins or the backups, right? But from what I've seen out here and in the scrimmages, this defensive front is immeasurably better than they were last year. So that's a step in the right direction, and I see it improving day by day. When the starters are out there, they're pretty darn good against the run. There's nobody out here trying to play solo, meaning all I'm worried about is getting sacks. Christian Parker doesn't allow that. And I think that's a huge difference from maybe where they've been previously with this defense, of everybody hunting sacks, knowing that's how you get a contract. He has sold these guys on doing what you're supposed to do. And I think that was evident in both of the scrimmages so far. They did a really good job of playing the run, and not just the guys on the inside, but either your outside linebackers and you're in 3-4, or your outside defensive end if you're in a 4-2. I thought that was noticeable. The other thing that
can we pause on that just one second, Mickey? Because whether it's last year or the year before or the year before, honestly, it feels like a whole lot of time. If you can find one similarity with the struggling defenses, doesn't it feel like it frequently comes back to we cannot stop the run?
Yes, absolutely. Not stop the run and know your assignment. No busted coverages. No freelancing back there. And as I keep saying, no end of play with somebody with their palms up like, what the hell? And you rarely see a busted coverage. So detail and knowing what you're supposed to do. Now, having said that, it helps that you've got some salty veterans back on this defense. You're not playing with first-time starters in the NFL or first-time guys playing in the NFL like they were so many times last year, and it just seemed like the defense was lost. I think that even in the first preseason game with so many young guys and backups playing, didn't seem to be that many busted assignments. And so to me, that's a great improvement of where they finished the season last year, right? And I think it was noticeable. And again, you guys were out here. If you watch these defensive coaches teaching, they're very detailed. And I think it's starting to show on how these guys play. Offensively, I think it's, you know, more of the same. As long as that offensive line can protect Dak Prescott, as long as it can give little creases for Javonte Williams, I think the offense will be just fine.
It does feel then Like, it's more group work than individual dudes.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And that's what it, I mean, that's what football is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it it's the greatest team sport there is out there. Because you got to have 11 guys doing what they're supposed to do. And you can't have, and that was one of the things Christian Parker emphasized yesterday. And I talked to him when he was walking off about guys not hunting sacks. And too much of that was going on over the last couple of years. Not worried about the run. It's worried about my numbers. These guys seem to be worried about winning. And that's got to be the priority when you're playing defense.
That's for sure. I saw
you weren't referring to anybody specifically.
No,
there, right?
Not at all. No, okay. There might have been one or two guys that's all they were worried about.
Mm-hmm. I saw something in the joint practice, Mickey, that I wanted to ask about yesterday, but we had run out of time, so I wanted to see if I can. I saw a couple of plays that I felt were nifty little unique plays to Ferguson, and it seemed like they got him the ball in a couple of non-traditional ways, and then a couple of traditional ways as well in the red zone. Have you noticed throughout camp him getting more work or having some other plays built for him this year?
I don't know if it's different. I think what's different is their ability to maybe prolong plays so he can get down the field.
Okay.
I think one of the things I've seen, and I don't know if this is what you're talking about, you know how you normally throw little swing tackles to the running back?
Mm-hmm.
They're throwing them to him.
Okay.
Like if he starts in motion and goes around, and it's not like he's just trying to draw coverage, they'll throw him the ball on some of those and allow him to run.
Okay.
And I think that was a little bit unique. But again, they weren't trying to show too much in that scrimmage, right? And they weren't trying to show too much against the Rams because they got to play them later in the, I think it's right before Christmas. They got to play them guys again. So as Schottenheimer pointed out, he goes, yeah, maybe we were using our five iron in the scrimmages. And to protect what they're showing other teams.
Yeah, I think the one I saw a little shovel pass, which I've seen the shovel pass to him before.
Right.
But seeing, you know, a little bit of that and then hearing that about the swing tackle, I like that a little more too. That's fun. I think Kevin, you and I were discussing earlier in the season, the off season, like, was his production enough?
Right.
And in the end zone, we saw some touchdowns. We'd love to see a little bit more. And I think there's just other growth. I mean, I know you have a lot of weapons on this offense.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you have to utilize Ferguson on is drawing coverage off those other weapons, right? You want to make sure that if teams start saying, oh, we're going to play this cloud coverage on Pickens and Lamb, or we're going to double team and try to do both, well, then you got to have somebody else step up. And the tight end, if coverage is being drawn either by safeties or linebackers to help out on those guys underneath, it's like, well, my tight end might be one-on-one in a lot of instances, and I got to take advantage of that.
Wanted to pick your brain and get your thoughts about the camps of and how likely they are to be in the roster of Julius Wood, the safety, and then Tommy Dunn. Because I know when we talk about undrafted free agents, Michael Trigg comes up a whole lot. I don't know how much we've ever really talked about Tommy Dunn, if you have thoughts on either or both of those fellas.
Yeah, Dunn, you know, I would imagine if they're looking for some backup types at nose tackle.
Right.
He's in a battle with Jay Toya. But there's other guys that are versatile enough that, you know, they can play in there. Kelvin Gillum is another name that's kind of jumped up. And then with guys like Bullard and Agbania, those guys are big enough that, you know, you can move them inside also. And look, how many times are they going to be in nickel, right? So you don't have a true nose tackle.
Right. 70%? Like a lot.
And that's what it was close to last year, right? It
yeah.
was right at it. So Kenny Clark, you know, he's probably not coming off the field much. Now, you want a backup there, right? Because
sure.
that's a tough position. You get hit every play. So, you know, one of those guys probably makes the team. I think the last two preseason games will go a long ways toward maybe you know, deciding which one of those guys you keep on the defensive front. But again, you've got a lot of choices, and you got a lot of kind of defensive ends who can play tackle. I think Malachi Lawrence fits that bill. I mean, he can play inside if that's what you need in a pass rush situation. So, I think the versatility here might draw you away from traditional position, right?
Oh, okay.
A traditional nose tackle. It's like, well, I've got this defensive tackle who can play inside. And so the versatility, I think, will be the determining factor on this roster.
Which, again, Kevin, that comes down to that was an intentional thing by
for
the
sure.
whole staff and
for
the
sure.
and the guys that went and got the free agents this offseason as well.
Right,
Mickey,
exactly.
This, I think one of the discussions we've had frequently is, and we keep having it, how are the Cowboys this weekend and in the final preseason game going to create enough of an opportunity for guys like Blue and Mafa to be able to show what they have?
Yeah, and for Blue, he got hurt early, a little shoulder. Well, he had the little shoulder thing going. He had an early carry, a really nice run, and then they pulled him out. So
okay.
We'll see how much he, if indeed he works any today. And I'm guessing if he doesn't, he probably not playing on Saturday. So,
how much would that hurt him with this this thing?
As long as he can run a 4.28, he ain't hurt.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I mean, just from making the team, I just think they need that dimension. You know, you're not looking at him as a guy that's going to carry the ball 20 times a game if something happens to Javonte Williams. That's what the third guy's got to be. He's got to be, to me, the spot guy that when I put him on the field, the other team's going, oh, okay, we got to know where 23 is, right? And I think that's his job, to give them a dimension at running back that they don't have with anybody else.
So you think that he, no matter what, he's got this spot?
I think
okay.
so now. All I right. could be wrong, but that's kind of my thinking. And then, you know, Malik Davis, Mafa, and Izzy, I think those guys are battling for maybe the third running back spot.
Okay, well, with that in mind, like, let's just say for clarification or simplification, we just count Hunter Lipke as a running back so we can just make this conversation easier. Would you rather than at this point carry five running backs for this team or six wide receivers?
I would say at this point Lipke is I don't even know if you call him a running back.
Yeah,
right?
just a
he's the jack of all
for
trades.
For sure, for
and
sure.
And special teams, too,
right,
by the way.
Right,
So three running backs, Lipke, and then I think I don't know where you would go short or skimp from if you kept six wide receivers. But right now I think it's a possibility if Cam Brown continues to be consistent. And if one of the other guys, like Mingo,
yes,
you know,
you just named
Marquez.
The two,
yeah.
No,
right?
you named the two that I would push it out to six for in Camden and Mingo, and that's why I wanted to get your thoughts.
And here's
about that.
And here's the deal with Brown is he got exposed, so there's no way at this point, although. And I always say this, oh, boy, you can't get him through waivers and get him on the practice squad, right? Well, every team has a guy like that.
Yes,
right? And I'm sure the Chicago Bears are saying, well, I don't know what we're going to do with this sixth wide receiver. Do I keep him? I know everybody's got that guy. So it's a little bit touchy on making that decision. Can I get him through waivers and put him on the practice squad? Or do I keep him on the 53 and then eventually put him on the practice squad? That way, if someone picks him up, they got to put him on their 53.
Yeah. Excellent insight. As always, good sir. We will catch you again tomorrow.
We'll say goodbye together to Oxnard, California.
Mm. It will be emotional, to be sure. And I'll send you a link to that fight.
Yes, let me see it.
Okay, I will do that. All right, there you go. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com.